what you don't measure, you can't improve on. And so all aspects of production, we try to measure, whether it's looking at active group reports and seeing what's going on in the nursery girl finish side, whether it's, like Laura said, breeds and farrows on the week, or getting down to the deeper dive details of pulling down closeout records and really analyzing, okay, we knew that this genetic was supposed to do this. Are we getting that result, or where do we need to follow up on that? So it's both on the live side, on the act, or as far as live data, along with kind of reviewing closeout data and making sure that we have all this information. Are we utilizing it and measuring it to come back on and keep moving forward and improving too?
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. MetaFarms, transforming agriculture with data-driven solutions for pork producers. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production. You can combat mycotoxins in your feed with Fumezyme from DSM Firmenich. Fumezyme is the only FDA-approved enzyme to degrade fumonisins. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today we have two guests on our show, Dr. Laura Bruner and Dr. Ryan Strobel. Drs. Bruner and Strobel are both veterinarians at the Swine Vet Center. Welcome to our show, Laura and Ryan. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So today on the Swine It podcast show, we're discussing how swine veterinarians use production records and reports to help their clients make better decisions. But before we get started, we want to get to know our guests a little bit better. So Laura and Ryan, I want each of you just to give the audience a little background of yourselves. Let's get started with you, Laura.
Sounds good. Laura Bruner, I am a graduate of the University of Minnesota College of Veterinary Medicine in 2007. I started my career right away at Swine Vet Center, and I have been there ever since. Really have a broad focus, sow farms, grow finish, spent a lot of my time training, but really wean to finish is probably where I spend most of the time.
Great. Thank you. How about you, Ryan?
Yep. Ryan Strobel, would have graduated from the University of Minnesota as well in 2017 vet school, and joined Swine Vet Center in 2018 and been there since. And as far as, you know, what I do with my clients, kind of varies all over the board, like most veterinarians, but would really work a lot on high-level strategy thinking, working on the business, along with the health side, and kind of putting together the big picture with most of my clients. So it's been a lot of fun.
Explore MetaFarms for all your livestock production data needs. Experience our integrated software platform offering complete operational visibility from breed to market. Utilize customizable dashboards for data analysis and benchmarking. MetaFarms mobile apps enable offline access, maximizing efficiency and enhancing profitability. Visit us today at MetaFarms.
Great. Thank you both. So I've known both Laura and Ryan my career. So I'm happy to have you guys on the show and talk about this important topic. So what we're going to do is kind of go through the different types of production data and how these two veterinarians help their clients make better decisions on the farm. So Laura, let's start with you. Can you walk us through the types of production data that you most commonly review and why these are important to swine health?
Sure. Yeah. You know, when I think about production records and what's available, there's really a wide variety of information out there. I think about when I first graduated from vet school, some of my first tasks were doing MetaFarms, just one, you know, quick hitters for them to email out. And we were looking at charting stillborns and total born and really, really basic and simple. But when I look at what we have available today, you know, there's kind of, you know, the real-time data that helps you analyze what's happening like right now on the farm. So at the sow farm level, we'll be looking at just the processes on the sow farm that we're able to monitor. So how many breeds that we had for a day, how many farrows we had for the day, how do we do on stillborns and mummies, and pre-weaned mortality. And so the real-time data we spend a lot of time looking at because it helps you really be in touch with what's happening at the farm without having to actually be there every day.
How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, it seems simple, probably too simple, but obviously what you don't measure, you can't improve on. And so all aspects of production, we try to measure, whether it's looking at active group reports and seeing what's going on in the nursery girl finish side, whether it's, like Laura said, breeds and farrows on the week, or getting down to the deeper dive details of pulling down closeout records and really analyzing, okay, we knew that this genetic was supposed to do this. Are we getting that result, or where do we need to follow up on that? So it's both on the live side, on the act, or as far as live data, along with kind of reviewing closeout data and making sure that we have all this information. Are we utilizing it and measuring it to come back on and keep moving forward and improving too?
Yeah, great. So what about taking that data and actually making, a decision? So you're working closely with your clients. How do you translate that that raw performance data that you just discussed that, can be real time and then can also be, more historical and put it all together to actually make it an actionable item and make a decision?
As far as like real-time data, what we're looking for is just to make sure we're not missing anything as we go. You never want to look back on a week and go, shoot, we missed breed target. How did that happen? Are we not paying attention to it? Or you never want to look at your closeouts and say, hey, I had a 10% nursery and we didn't even know about it. So it seems overly simple, but knowing what's happening in all aspects of the business every day is very, very important. And so that's where a lot of the real-time data comes in. And then as far as looking back at historical data, it's unlimited on what you can do, whether it's ranking growers and showing that, hey, this is the type of barn setup we want to look at, or the type of feeder that we're benefiting from, or ventilation style, whether it's measuring field staff and saying, hey, this person on these sites just continues to get results and this person's lagging behind. And now we've got data to back it up in terms of reviews or how to train people to get better. Marking of loads when you're looking at those weight differences and sort loss premiums by either person or barn type. Extremely important. So there's just a ton of data to look back on to help improve your people at the end of the day. That's what you're trying to do, is use the data to help improve everybody on your team and make sure that everybody's pulling in the right direction.
It sounds like there's a lot of different data and reports. So Laura, how do you take that much data and kind of, what are the steps that you recommend to veterinarians to help their clients sort of, get a systematic process, right? Because you can get a bit overwhelmed by how much data is available.
Yeah. And so I would say probably the most common thing that we use the data for is just looking for trends. And so we don't try and run reports where we try and look at everything, every part of the system. And so trying to narrow it down to what are the key things that we are concerned about? What are the key things that we're worried about? We're monitoring it real time, but we're kind of looking for trends at the same time. So kind of a short-term look, what happened the last 4 weeks? What happens the next 4 weeks? What are the things that we're trying to make an impact on? And let's start there. And so like Ryan had mentioned about, nursery mortality, is it starting to trend up? Do we have certain flows that are going the wrong direction? And so kind of that short-term look. And then when there's bigger things that you want to take a retrospective look at, you have to be really careful because you don't, when you have a lot of data, there could be certain things that are influenced that you don't intend for. So for example, if you're looking at, wean to finish nursery turns versus regular nursery turns, there's a lot of outside influences that can affect that. So feed mills, growers, corn quality, all those things. And so you need to be really careful when you're looking at big sets of data because you can have unintended influences in that data. So making sure that you have somebody on your team that's thinking about all those things, that's not, an output that you just look at and not look at it more holistically, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's a really good answer because there are sometimes some things that are beyond the control, right, of just the performance of the animals that, maybe feed mill related or location related. And so that's important to also step back and take a look at those things that are influencers. How about you, Ryan? Any steps you recommend veterinarians to do to help their clients understand these numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. really, you've got the advantage of getting, or especially as a consultant, you got the advantage of seeing what other producers and other people are doing. And so I think part of our job and part of our advantage is to go to some producers that may not be looking at it a certain way and try to make them rethink about the data or rethink about their system in different light. And it also depends on the producer, right? You've got a range of a small client that has everything they're doing in the field, and maybe if you get distracted, to all the way up to having clients with a full analyst team on staff. And so you got to kind of pick and choose the balance of where you're going to plug and play. But I would say, especially the guys that are, you know, smaller than that, you know, 1,000 to 10,000 sow range that are really busy in the day-to-day grind and don't always get the chance to relook at their data, you can bring a ton of value to those guys and looking at their stuff differently.
I think that's true. You know, sometimes there's production systems that have, you know, people on their staff, right, that are analyzing the data and kind of bringing that to the team. And then other times a smaller producer, you know, that's what you guys can do for the team. So what about sharing an example of how each of you were able to make a decision or help a producer make a decision based on, you know, data and records, maybe an intervention or change that you were able to bring that resulted in a measurable improvement?
So obviously the question of, you know, what's a real life example recently, I would say the last 2 to 3 years, almost everyone in the industry has been doing this, but looking at depop, repop situations and using that data to drive the correct decision. So whether it's the right time to do the depop because of financials and here's the current outcome, whether it's we've got results on the backside of these repops and here's the financial return, here's what that clean pig looks like if we are trying to get rid of a certain bug or multiple bugs. It can be a huge difference on data that you're using right now that has made producers make a big difference to their herds in the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, great. So Ryan, what Ryan mentioned is in the swine industry in the U.S., the, you know, repopulation, depopulation and repopulation has kind of come back right into fashion somewhat due to some disease pressures and some economics, right, have driven that as well. And so, using records to help make that decision, is this going to be economically feasible or worthwhile for me to do? No, good example. How about you, Laura? Can you think of one or share one?
Yeah. And so, you know, the ability to see what's happening in real time, so on a daily basis and for sure a weekly basis, I think helps you find trends in either sow farm or nursery grow finish. And so I would say probably the best examples here in the last year are noticing those trends, whether it be stillborns or nursery mortality, and then putting in interventions in place to try and bring those numbers down. And so it's a wide host of, you know, everything from management changes to training, to disease and diagnostics. And so once you have those implementations in place, then being able to watch the trends, making sure that what we did made an impact, and then watch those numbers go down.
Great. So one question that I have for you guys with, you know, kind of technology constantly evolving. When I first went into practice, you know, we really had kind of paper records, and the data that we were able to get was not necessarily real time, right? It was a bit delayed because we didn't have the technology we have today. So as you see technology advancing, you know, what are some maybe both, you know, advantages to that and then maybe disadvantages to that, the new technology with visualization and new tools in terms of this data?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say with the new technology, it's really made communication gaps minimized. And so what I mean by that is if you would have had a grower that didn't communicate well before, but they automatically have to type something in their records, or you get a follow-up item, or you get a flag that, hey, that's not happening, I think it alleviates some of those communication gaps. However, with that, there's also downside, right? Where if you're not talking on the phone and communicating regularly, that there's downside to not having those same relationships by using too much technology. So it probably sounds a little bit back and forth, but there's always good and bad with everything.
Yeah, good example.
Yeah, I would say there is so much data that's at our fingertips. And so while this is really great, it can sometimes be a little bit paralyzing, because when you think about trying to get the data out, analyze it, it can be pretty cumbersome. And so a lot of times it hinders people from going out and doing that. And so I think there's just so much information that sometimes it can be a little bit intimidating. And so I would say that's probably one of the main ones. And then just kind of the unintended consequences making sure that what the data that you're looking at is the right data and that it's going to answer the right question for you. So I see that as probably the most difficult, because as you get more sophisticated and more technology and more information, it's taking smarter and smarter people to have on your team to be able to go take the time to look at that information and then help you make the right decision.
Yeah, I think that's true. It can be so much data can be a little bit paralyzing. So, you know, kind of focusing in on what do we look at on a day-to-day and then what might be important to be a sit down or a strategy type decision that, you know, Ryan mentioned he's involved in with a lot of his clients. So what about a success story? Can each of you kind of share, you know, something that where you used a process of looking at data and were able to help a producer, make a good decision for their farm?
I'd say one example with one of my clients is that they do what they call a grower ranking every year. So they use all the closeout data from that year, and then they rank it off of average daily gain, feed efficiency, percent mortality. And then they would assign a dollar value to each of those parameters, and then it would quote unquote rank the growers. And they're not, you know, necessarily saying, hey, you owe us this money or anything. They're just using that data to help have that conversation on an equal playing field. And they may have to sort it out by flow, depending on PERS status. They may have to sort it out, you know, by different parameters, feed mill, et cetera. But within that conversation, I think those have gone very different for that producer. With those growers, you can sit down and have a real-time data conversation and not say, oh, I got a crap group of pigs, or hey, I didn't have any help on this. It's like, no, this is equal across this playing field. And I think those conversations have gone a lot better because of that. So that's just one example of maybe the data didn't drive the entire decision, but it helped drive the conversation to the right place. And that's where I really wanted to get to.
Great example, using just a little bit of maybe competitiveness to
exactly.
Raise the bar and improve production. Laura, what about a success that you've been involved in?
Well, I would say that as technology has progressed and how we have more real-time data on farms, these systems that are able to track data, especially like in the electronic sow feeding, there's more and more iPads on farm, data collection on farm. And so really for me, success is being able to help producers that maybe weren't used to that technology before, show them how to be able to utilize it. There is hundreds of reports that you can run. And so probably success story for me is just being able to help them use the data they do have and just make that next step. So even if it's a simple report, or even if it's, you know, really simple things that you're looking at, just using the information that you have in front of you and try and make it, I guess, a little less scary.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of narrowing it down, or people who aren't maybe familiar or used to so much technology at your fingertips, to helping them to access it and make good use of the data. Perfect. So if you're everybody out there, if you're enjoying this episode of Swine It, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it. And so today we've been discussing how veterinarians assist producers using production records and reports to make decisions on their farms. And before we finish our discussion, I want to give each of you just a chance to do a bit of a final thoughts or take home from today's discussion. Ryan, how about you start?
I think the biggest take home is using data in the right manner to help drive decisions that have a clear answer. I know that sounds really broad and overview, but it's the right answer at the end of the day is to not use the data to have paralysis of the analysis and really use that data to drive decisions and look forward. It's really easy to get caught up in what happened in the past and get frustrated. Just keep looking forward and making the right decisions with the information you have.
Great. Laura, your take homes?
I would just say, you know, think about what makes sense for your farm. So, you know, there's the real-time information that you can use to look at processes. There's the little bit longer view, 4 to 10 weeks that helps you see trends in your data. And then there's the really kind of cumbersome but really important, like the retrospective look at your data. And so I think breaking it up into small pieces like that and, you know, trying to figure out what question do you want to answer and trying to figure out which one of those which one of those types of analysis makes sense. It might be all three. It might be a retrospective look to, you know, see what's going on in your system. It might be, you know, looking at trends during the months or the years, and then it might end up all the way at the end going down to the real-time data of monitoring the processes that you put in place. And so I'd say, you know, try and start small and then work your way up. You know, don't be afraid to analyze the data, because it can be really powerful to help you drive decisions, like Ryan said.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Trow Nutrition North America, everything we do is driven by passion and backed by science. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Keys Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. SUNY is a professional solution provider for enzymes, probiotics, and functional additives. We offer customized formulas to target nutritional issues in livestock and maximize the utility of animal feed. Find us at SUNY.com, spelled S-U-N-H-Y, for more information.
Thank you so much for your insight. So part of our SwineIt podcast show, we ask each of our guests a series of three signature questions just to get to know them a little bit better and maybe to get some good advice from them. So we'll jump into that. So the first question is, what's your favorite book or resource that you use in your area of expertise? So, you know, swine medicine or data analytics. And so, Ryan, I'm going to start with you this time. What do you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, as far as total resource, I think just expanding your horizon as much as possible. So, you know, subscribing to as much information as you can out there, whether it's podcasts or information that gets daily webinars, or whether it's getting daily just emails on what's going on in the industry. I think it's really, really important to stay connected. It's very easy to get barn blind in this industry, and what happens in your world is the only thing that happens. And so I think just keeping your eyes open as to what's happening out there is really important in as many ways as possible.
Yeah, great. I agree with that. Laura, how about you? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I would spend a lot of time on a variety of podcasts. You know, everything in the swine industry, there's so many resources like this podcast out there. We spend a lot of time on the road, so being able to utilize all these podcasts is really been helpful. And then, you know, making sure even outside the swine industry, if there's podcasts in other large animal, definitely try and take advantage of those too.
Yeah. Some, you know, other species that, you know, may bring a good idea or a different idea to what we're doing in swine medicine. Yeah, exactly. So what about something maybe beyond agriculture or swine production itself? What kind of a book or resource, Ryan, would you recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I'm sure it's been on the podcast before, but I really recommend the book Good to Great, not only just in terms of the value you can bring out for yourself, but how you lead people and how you make people believe in what you're saying is the key to having success, I think, as a veterinarian. I think there's not a ton of secrets out there. It's how you really lead people and drive decisions that ends up making you make a difference on those farms.
About the people. So Good to Great. Yeah, that's a good one. Laura, how about you? What are your thoughts?
I don't read a lot of books, but I spend a lot of time on the road on audiobooks. And so probably the one that I like the most is How to Win Friends and Influence People, because in our industry, influence is everything. You can have all the information in the world, but if people don't allow you to influence them, then it doesn't matter. And so really trying to understand how to connect with people and be able to talk to them so that you can, at the end of the day, influence them. And then it hopefully benefits the pig at the end of the day.
So the last question, and I think a really good one, is share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
The characteristic that, especially in this industry, is the ability to execute. There's lots of great ideas. There's all these things that you can go do. And so the ability to see a path and execute, I think, is a really good quality in our world today.
And how about you, Ryan?
I think for me, it would be the drive to success. I think you see a lot of people succeed in this industry. It's good enough is never good enough. And so they keep pushing to get better, no matter what that is, whether it's PSY, whether it's lower mortality, et cetera. I think just that drive to get better is one that I really, really appreciate in a lot of the good leaders in our industry.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank both of you for your discussion today, sharing your insight. Great to see you both again. Thank you out there for joining us today. If you've enjoyed our episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is also very valuable to us. And so please also give us a like on your podcast platform. And that concludes another episode of Swine It Podcast. Have a great day.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.